Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Telford, joined by Ewan.
Hello.
And joined by Gilly the Kid.
Hello.
Turned out that Jules Gill wasn't available today, so we have his representative, who's also from the world of the Western regions.
Yes, unfortunately, Jules is wanted in many, many states, so he's gone for a bit. But I'm in his place, his body double for most of the crimes and heists that we pull there. I'm not as wanted as him, so it's just about okay that I'm here, but I'm willing to shoot off if I see any sort of like
sirens.
They
call him Gilly One Mask on account of his one mask.
I actually have three. So,
oh, you have three? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry about that.
It's true. I am aware that Gilly shares all the same life experiences and Red Dead Online experience as Jules.
When you're doing a character study like I am, you have to know the person inside and out.
That's fair. So we're going to do a whole podcast on Red Dead Online because we're continuing to grapple with its various systems, strengths and weaknesses and all those sorts of things. So I want to open with general impressions.
Lasso arm there.
So Ewan, give me your general impressions of Red Dead Online.
So I hopped into Red Dead Online on the Tuesday because I was one of those sad nerds that got the Ultimate Edition.
I mean, I got it at midnight, so I wasn't one day after you.
And I went in and I had trouble making my character. I kind of wanted to go in and make a Jonah Hex-esque thing. It didn't work out the first time around, so I didn't get attached to my character at all. Whatever. I went in. Immediately, you're confronted with a very, very slow and laborious story mission. And you're there with your silent character awkwardly going...
There is a lot. The new protagonist from GTA Online carries over.
Yes.
Which is a bit awkward.
So that was a bit weird. But obviously, they can't really do much. Like, you can't really expect your character to have a voice, I guess, but whatever. And then I found myself doing the story missions, and instantly I got out. Once I got into the open world, I was like, cool, this is it. I get to go out and make my character. I can make him the way I want to. I got the scars on my face. You know, all I need is like the classic like coats and stuff. And then I looked and went into the closest shop, and I was looking. And I saw, I noticed the two different kinds of currencies at first. I was like, oh, that's a bit weird. So you have gold bars, and just normal cash. And I go in, and I see that pretty much all the cosmetic items, and especially weapons as well, though I'm not fussed about weapons, I think weapons should be locked behind ranks. That makes
sense.
But the cosmetic bread and butter of any like kind of online game where the whole idea is that you create your own avatar to go out into this world and live this certain thing, locked behind rank and lots of money. And if you've been playing Red Dead Online, you'll realise that you make about half as much as you do in the single player, which again is fine. You could probably argue that you made too much in the single player. But having spent a lot of time in GTA Online, my alarm bells instantly started going off because like the store icon is locked at the moment because, let's face it, it would be very nasty of Rockstar to include a store in a beta.
So it would actually be quite stupid of them because obviously they've said that they're not sure if they're going to be carrying on
the stats.
So if you bought something and it didn't carry across, that would just be an absolute PR nightmare for them.
Immediately, I was very frustrated by that. I was like, well, I know instantly where this is going to go. I can't be arsed grinding and doing these things. I thought the survival mechanics felt at first a little bit out of place. And to an extent, I still feel that way. Like, no one wants to be spending their money that they're taking hours to go accumulate on 50 carrots so the horse doesn't be knackered for
horse
an entire
rush.
Story mission. I had a mission yesterday where I ran out of ammo.
Of course you did.
I've got a story about the ammo thing. We'll come back
so
to
like,
that.
At first, I was very frustrated. I deleted my character. I was like, I don't want to be bothered with this. And then the call came back. You know, the shooter tries to hang up his guns, but ultimately... you know, truth comes a knocking, and you've got to answer that call.
If you're the best gunslinger in the West, there's going to be people hunting for you. You've got to.
Let's very quickly drop a quick tip in here. We'll be doing a video, I think, on Red Dead Online tips and tricks. They're awesome on the website, because if you start over a new character and you've already accrued some gold along the way, when you start a new character over, your accrued wealth carries over.
Which I think is a fine touch.
Yeah, but some people have discovered that by grinding the story missions out, which gets you $450 when you've done them all, and then restarting, that carries over. Let you get the money again, and so that is a very quick money
saving.
They're
gonna patch that out.
They likely will, or they'll start giving you some sort of animal based card in there instead of it. But I mean, Gilly, what are your first impressions?
The thing is that I had a much more positive experience than you did, I think, because of the fact that I went in there, I didn't necessarily like the story missions, the way they handled them.
I did
feel that they were a bit clunky, but I've had the best time online, because mainly I've been spending my time not really in the free roam section, but actually in the series mode, doing the team death matches,
Gangs of New York-esque things,
which is utterly fantastic, because it is effectively GTA 5's best modes taken forward and given the Wild West treatment, which, you know, you can't So it was the best at what it does. I mean, still, there's the clunky controls sometimes. And yes, a lot of people will easily get used to the aim quickly, then tap up, and you'll get the headshot straight away. But that's fine. That's what GTA was. And if you bought into it GTA 5 online, then you're going to love this.
True. I did notice as well that you can get like different loadouts. You have card-based loadouts.
I thought was a cool touch.
The first slot that you fill dictates what Deadeye does. So you can make it get your health back. You can make it... The one I have is that you can paint targets. And then you can, like, fire
I expect
them, all
them to expand on that. I think it's a very clever way of getting around the whole lack of Deadeye in the first Red Dead Online. Yeah. You know, I like the idea of there being team-based bonuses. So if you have a posse of people, you can encourage people to try out different things. For instance, I was on with my friend yesterday, and I have the Deadeye one that upgrades your damage and all of the everyone else's damage.
Right.
He got the one that, like, regenerates everyone's health.
That's the one I've got.
Teams are a great idea, I think, for that kind of stuff. I mean,
if you speak about it with your posse, about, like, what you're going to tell the character you're going to build, you could have some semblance of specification between them, and it does make it that little bit deeper.
There's a reason to invest in being a posse.
I mean, to be honest, like, I found that when I was just playing the Team Deathmatch series, I found that my gang, because of the styles that they gave in, every single one had like a sort of aesthetical backstory that you could see, like the preachers and the sort of like old rail miners and the dandies and stuff like that. You just think, I actually really like this gang. I'm going to stick with this gang. Yeah. And anyone who joins it gets that sort of mentality as well. So even through something as shallow as simple aesthetic choices on which team you're on. Mm-hmm. I actually did feel that was a pretty cool touch.
I was going to mention too, when Rockstar did Max Payne 3, like the way they got around the bullet time with that was if multiple players were looking at each other and all triggered it at the same time, then the whole world went to slow motion.
It was very weird.
I like that. Yeah. That's cool.
I was going to ask actually, because in the did you play the first Red Dead multiplayer?
Yes. Yeah.
Is there a mode where you start off and you all do the draw, like, on opposite sides? Because I've not
that was separate. That's in Red Dead Revolver, the very first game.
No, it's in Redemption 2.
Oh, was it in Redemption?
I can't remember that. Like a draw.
Either that was a separate mode, or it dictated who went ahead.
Yeah, because, like, I haven't encountered that yet, but I would love to have that in there, because I very much enjoyed that whole lining up and, like, you all draw at the same time. Well, that's bloodbath everywhere.
That's kind of what I was thinking of, because if they did it where everyone looks at each other and went into the draw mode, super slow-mo, and you all try and line up your shots or whatever.
That is a great point. Why?
It likely is in there somewhere.
Oh, wait, no. The reason why is because there's not just red versus blue. It's like red versus blue versus green
teams.
Versus orange.
True.
I mean, you could do it on different separate areas, maybe. But
I think, at the minute, they've labeled it a beta, like, you know, first and foremost kind of thing. And it's like, we're going to go forward fixing things.
Absolutely.
We'll get to bugs in a bit, but that's something that they might end up adding modes in or refining and stuff. The only impressions that I had, because the server keeps kicking me out, I've only done like two or three different... I've got past the story stuff, which I thought was a hell of a slog. And then I did a 32-player deathmatch in Saint-Denis, which I thought was really fun, but it was a lot of run up to person, left trigger, tap up, shoot, and it was just kind of that over and over again. But I like the ability, I like how much you can climb and move around and take cover.
I want to state this very, very clearly. I've had a brilliant time on this. I do have my gripes with it. I'm sure that everyone will with this. I mean, but from what I've experienced, it's been majoratively positive.
That's good. And, like, I kind of, it's my experience isn't wholly negative. I think it's probably worth post-affixing whatever, saying that I was really, really excited about this mode. I had, like, plans for my character, what I wanted to do, I really wanted to get heavily invested in it, just like I did with GTA Online. And when I couldn't do that right away, I was getting flashbacks to, like, the last stages of that mode, which pretty much priced players out if they didn't invest in the market. And I can see where it's going there. So immediately, that very much frustrated me. But at the end of the day, it's still really fun with friends, and I like the idea of eventually getting to the character that I want. Mm-hmm. I still think, though, that the economy needs a massive restructuring.
Yeah, the economy, people have said, I think it was like Kotaku who pointed out that in order to afford a gang posse name, you'd need to play the game for eight hours.
$200 just to get a permit. But that's
8 hours in free roam.
Yes.
If you were to do the series, you can earn between $7 to $10 if you do particularly
well.
You
said you made, $450 last night?
Oh, no. Jules, he made $110 last night just for playing for 2 to 3 hours.
So I mean, that's the only principle, it's fine, I suppose, but the fact that that same feature was completely free in GTA Online, like you had the Rockstar Social Club where you could go in and make your crew, which is effectively the same thing. Mm-hmm. I do think it's just another way to
put another price tag on it.
And when you factor that in with the whole fact that it takes so long to make money, you know, you loot corpses, you get a nickel.
My only theory is that the reason they're not doing this is because when you look at Red Dead, compared to what GTA 5 offered, there's far less guns, there's far less options for travel. I mean, the horses don't really range like greatly between them. I know that the Arabian is the best like that you can get for free, but it's still only marginally
through like 4 or 5 in the main story.
What they've done is they priced everything so highly because of the fact there's not actually that much content to go with, and as we keep saying, it is a beta. They can't give us everything straight away out of the gate, because I think if they did, it would actually be a case of we might run dry within the first first 2 weeks of playing.
That's the thing. And so, because you obviously you played it first, so you you told me like, oh hey man, the economy is a hell of a grind, and it really does hit you up front with you're not going to get this stuff for a while. And so when I went into it and like applying my arty farty brain to it, I thought they were going for like a whole this is what it's like living in the Wild West style thing, or Old West style thing, and they want you to really work for stuff. There's one train in the map at any given time, so like that's obviously going to be like, you know, if you can loot the train, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And they want it to be like a big risk reward type thing, and they want you to, you know, really like be able to afford your stirrups or a better hat or you know, like a fancy gun engraving or something.
I mean, it's one of those things where like by making stuff so expensive, you are artificially inflating the sort of reward you get for unlocking it, or the feeling you're supposed to get. But I do understand the frustration, because they've already shown in the single player that that is an economy that worked for most people. Mm-hmm. And little touches as well, there are annoyances, like when you open up your catalog and you want to buy bullets, you would expect those bullets to be on your person once you buy them.
Right.
I know that that is a silly game mechanic, because it wouldn't make any sense that you're in the middle of scrub and or delivery from Mr. Snurb, you know what I mean? I'll sign here for it. But having it delivered back to the post office or your gang camp,
I didn't even
which is
that.
Yes. miles away, that is a bit of an annoyance, because you're like, oh, I've only got 6 bullets now.
You can move it around, but getting across the field, I think that's a very interesting point. It's a thing that I'm struggling to reconcile with at the moment is Rockstar retaining the survival aspects and the most immersive aspects of Red Dead single player with this online mode that doesn't necessarily support it. And I think if Red Dead Online was just the open world with 4 other people, it would be perfectly fine, because you would play that mode with the same 4 people, 4 or 7 people, maybe even more, whatever. But the fact that sessions are always temporary, you're roaming around, it doesn't necessarily play to the survival mechanics particularly well.
Yeah, there's no permanence to it.
Whereas if they literally marketed it as we're going for a more streamlined approach as compared to GTA, because most of the time when you play GTA Online, you were just playing with your mates. You didn't want to get gunned down by some knob in a bloody jet coming around and greeting
you. Yeah, they just land on top of you, didn't they?
So I think if they led into that more and made it a more personal experience like the single player, it would have made a whole lot more sense, because right now it seems as though they're just kind of leading into, oh, you can play with 32 people at once. We got this many people on the map and all of them are falling through the floor at once. And it's like, well, gosh, I mean... Yeah.
I wonder how much they're kind of figure out what Red Dead Online even is, because at the minute they've got the price tag for the posse thing, which is like obviously something that only a certain subset of players are going to be able to afford in the early game. And the way that they staggered the release in terms of like the actual public is only going into it today or yesterday...
Yeah.
On the Friday, they'll hear this on the Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
And so the way that they staggered it kind of means that, you know, different subsets of players are going to be introduced to Red Dead at different times. And I wonder if they're, again, because of the lack of marketing around it, there wasn't a single trailer for Red Dead Online other than them just mentioning it.
Was
there? No, there wasn't.
They said not like they did last
no,
time.
And no, and so
there was at least three or four different trailers that separated out onto like different aspects of things you could do on the online.
Yeah,
thing.
All they said was Red Dead Online's coming in November, and then we just had to go, well, assumedly, because we got to the last week of November. Yeah. Like, well, assumedly it's this week, and then they went, yeah, it's tomorrow, and it's like, all right, okay.
Yeah.
And so I think they, I mean, obviously it's pure theory speculation, but I wonder how much they are just kind of molding, figuring out what Red Dead Online is as they go forward, because this is going to last for years.
Well, the thing is that the actual the separation between the two halves of the game is actually quite simple, and Rockstar just needs to acknowledge this, which is the single player is about the immersion, the survivalism, the, like, you know, working your way up, rags to riches story, and the eventual downfall of the Wild West
rags
tropes.
To rags.
Rags to rags, yeah.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
But the online thing, that's where it's meant to be a game.
Exactly.
It's meant to be, there's meant to be a greater sort of sense of achievement and games and easier, because that is for your casual market. Not everyone is going to be buying Red Dead Redemption for the single player, as silly as it sounds, because we all know how good it is. But we have to accept there are people that just want to go in there and shoot people
online. That's the point I want to make, because I adore the survival mechanics. I'm one of the biggest defenders of all the, what you call it, busy work. I thought it was great. I loved it. I thought it was, it served the narrative perfectly in the world itself. But the fact remains, when you're online, you just want to, it's almost like a power trip. You just want to be this cowboy with your mates in the Old West doing goofy stuff and doing fun stuff. And when you do that, and then when you put that idea in your player base when they've earned some money, and rather than them being able to spend it on an item of clothing or a weapon that they really want, they do go, oh, I've not got enough. Awful.
Yeah.
It's just...
You can never have enough awful.
No, yeah, really, and can. Like, it's like, oh, I would go with you, but I forgot to sort out my Didi cause, and it's like...
I need my almonds.
My hope is that once the sort of like full version of this comes out, that the posse thing really will become like a focus staple. Yeah. Like, it's not just a case of a thing you can do, it's a thing that really should be done, because it will like pool resources, allow you to trade and share, and everything at the camp can be like, oh, I'll take 30 of these revolver cartridges, leaving 20 for you or something.
Just
you know
like the single player.
That would be fantastic.
Yes. That's what I was going to say.
Because the single player, it enforces that. Mm-hmm. It tells you that the camp is something to care about. Mm-hmm. And that this one doesn't feel there yet. It could do, but it doesn't feel there
and
yet.
And I think you'll get that sense when you play with friends all the time. Hint, you guys.
Yeah, we're going to set up a session tomorrow. We should all get on.
But I was going to say, unless I've missed it, I don't think there's a way to have like a shared pool of wealth yet.
No.
But they could do with an online version of Dutch's Ledger.
But this is the interesting thing as well, because the way the camp works is very, very similar to the way whenever you had a property in GTA Online where everyone had, when they introduced heist, everyone had an apartment and a place where they could go in and like sort the heist out. The camps are effectively the same thing. What I think is going to happen going forward is you'll see property get introduced, and you'll
like
see
people ranches and stuff like that.
Owning ranches and like maybe even just like hotel rooms.
Bring
like
that song in from the epilogue.
Yeah, and like I wouldn't. Oh my god! Imagine if you got to build your own house.
Bring it in.
That'd be pretty cool.
Give me
a board and nail and I'm gonna nail it.
But the thing is if they did that, then you could have a really interesting thing of like when you're say offline, if people go into your world or they stumble across your ranch, you might get like a thing saying, "Oh, your ranch is being attacked. If you don't like send one of your posse members to defend it or at least." Enter the area or something like that, then you'll lose $30
exactly, and that's the appeal. Like, do you imagine just loading into a session and then your mate's there? It's like, well, I've brewed the coffee and like I'm gonna go hunt and I'll come back. I know how
sad and mundane that sounds, but I would have so much fun with
that. That's what they need to do. I mean, that's the thing. And if you're gonna talk about comparisons to the single player, like there's a lot of whatever word you want to call it, from drudgery to enjoyable busy work or whatever the hell it is, that stuff only serves to elevate the little pockets of humanity parts of it, like the campfire, like the dancing and the singing and like hanging out. Or the thing in the epilogue, or whatever, and I think they've kind of found a way to translate that into the multiplayer by stretching it all out and making you work for like those kinds of things and those kind of rewards. I do love the idea of them doing camp based stuff because if they do that, then that taps into the best thing about Sea of Thieves, which was you and a posse of people going
out their own role.
Out into the wilderness, getting like a whole bunch of treasure and loot, and then the real crunch of getting back to home base with it.
Yeah.
And you only get to bank it when you get home again.
I like
and
that.
Like that was the one of the only cool ideas that Sea of Thieves had. And so like if they made it so that you're robbing the train. But it doesn't really matter until you get back home. That's a hell of a
thing. That's one of the weird things as well about this beta phase is that I feel as though they're emphasizing the story, which if you're trying to translate the most human elements of Red Dead single player, which comes through dialogue and conversation, surely you should be emphasizing and not placing restrictions on the ability for players to posse it with their friends and interact that way. Because when you're just a silent protagonist in a cutscene, you just look like a goof.
It's a lot of the time.
It's really weird.
I mean,
I don't like
how many cutscenes have we experienced in this online thing where you walk into a place, a person just spout some exposition at
you. You're not talking, are you?
Yeah, like, that's what I like to see. And it's like, okay, bye.
It was funny in GTA Online. Yeah. I don't care about it here.
Yeah. I would rather they just had this big open world and you just kind of figure it out and you figure out that you can go fishing together or maybe like play, like sing together. Like the first time you realize you can sing together with Arthur Morgan is fantastic. Yeah. And something that's in Fallout 76, like everyone can play an instrument together and they sync up. Yeah. But again, in Sea of Thieves, you can play
the equivalent
together.
In this mode is some random ass online just playing Wiz Khalifa through his microphone
but
and you have to
take it
and get
enough.
Away from it.
But if we are to go back onto the praising wagon again, we have to admit that like the streamlining of it is actually pretty decent. Like the fact that you can just go like, okay, I don't want to do free roam. I'm just going to hold down the options menu. I'm going to jump into the series playlist. I'm going to do this and that. I don't have to
you get past the opening slog.
But that's fine. I think that for people who might unfortunately be their first experience with the game, they might buy the game and immediately go online and do that, then that's fine. I mean, as a tutorial, it's a bit hackneyed and stagnant, but when you consider the rest of the game, you can't.
I still appreciate that the stones on Rockstar for doing it. I'm glad
that they didn't just do a thing of like, you're being transported and the wagon overturns and you escape and then that's it. Like, I actually prefer that they gave you something.
See, I would have preferred just instantness because, like, I just wanted to play Red Dead Online.
That's
I didn't want BTS with GTA Online.
I speculated when this came out because I saw the trophies and it was like breakout. It's like, oh, I assume they're gonna do a whole prison break type thing here. In GTA Online, you literally just spawn into the map and then you could pick up some dollars, like just instantly start earning money and buying things and making your experience your own. Whereas Red Dead Online goes to great lengths to not do that. Mm. And I see your point earlier on about there being a lack of content, like the lack of stuff to purchase. Mm. We know for a fact they're going to massively expand that in the future.
Loads
like,
of stuff
I'm almost Neon certain guns. They're going to introduce wagons with miniguns on the back and stuff just for the crack. There
will be some form of tank in this, I bet.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Imagine the spider from Wild Wild West.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah. I want the little wheelchair too.
To be honest, all they need to do is follow the exact same suit that they did before and give us all the characters from Red Dead Revolver as playable characters, skins.
Oh, Red Harlow.
Red Harlow
was
amazing.
As well, because they have included items of clothing that throw back to classic characters. Mm. So you have the shirt from that John Wayne wore more in the searches, you can get that.
That's cool.
There are different items that you can, if you were to, which is what I wanted to do, is to make your character look like Legends of the Old West. So I wouldn't be surprised if they were to introduce the same clothing that all characters have.
A poncho.
Yeah,
ponchos all round.
Massive oversight.
Yeah, one of the coolest ponchos in gaming history in the first Red Dead. It's not even in the sequel.
Yeah.
So bring it back to the online. Let's talk a little bit very quickly about the bugs, because we've all experienced some bugs. You guys have both fallen through the floor, and I've been kicked out the server.
Although, I have to admit, I seem to have been the lucky one, because I've only had that one time falling through the floor, and it was like, I was just like, oh, the pun's
was
right there. I was plucking that raven and then fell through the floor, and they came up with the amazing tweet, quoth the raven, never floor. There we go. You're welcome. On that one, Jules says you're welcome on that one.
Yeah, I was in Valentine, and the first occasion it happened, I was by the butcher. I just picked up a dead animal, and I was like, I'm going to sell you because I've heard that's a good way to make money.
So
I walk up to the butcher. The frame rate's going all gammy. I'm like, oh god, what's going on here? And then I pick up the dough, and then I'm like, I want to sell this. And then I go up to the guy, and then just
straight
like that.
It's hilarious.
And then diving around, and then I loaded into a new session, which then spawned me into Valentine again, and the same issue was happening. So I was like, well, okay, I guess I'll go into the bar. I'm low on sound. I know they have almonds at the bar. You can just go and scoff all the almonds.
Get some almonds. Get your health back. That's a smart move.
So I went in there. I was like, oh, you know what? Free almonds. I can. So I pick up my first bite, and then my guy gets sucked into the floor, and I'm just there like, oh no, I'm not ready. And then I fall down, and then I realize that there are dozens of other players
are also
falling
down
as well.
It seems
funny.
Like it's just a general desync across the whole thing.
Yeah. But just a whole populace falling through space.
Not entirely sure why it happens, but it was just a thing last night, apparently, that people were experiencing. But
that might have been the fall of the server, because that was just, when you guys started tweeting about it, that was just before I got kicked out. So the whole server seems to have just, it's like the Matrix falling apart. Everyone just falls into nothingness.
The only other glitch I've had was my horse randomly at full pelt bolted into a rock and killed itself. It's just there like shooting at these bad guys. I left the horse all the way down there. Next thing I know, it's like just completely done.
I saw some guy smash. It was the first mission where you were meant to steal the horses.
Oh god, and that mission!
This guy was on the mic, and he was just being a right prick.
Was he being an online person?
No, he's just being like, he goes, I want the one on the far right, and it's like they're all the same horse. Doesn't matter, whatever. You take whatever you want. So he goes there, and he literally bolted straight out, but he went straight into another horse that was coming out. His horse died, so we lost one of the things.
Brilliant.
Okay.
Anything with team. This is always the rule with rocks since GTA Online. I'm sure you'll remember Josh's story about the idiot in the parachute, who is probably me. There is always a random player, and they will always, always mess something up.
I wonder if they look at the different skill pools and just go, okay, we've got two people who have played for 200 hours. We've got one guy who's played for 20 minutes. Let's put him with those guys and just see what happens.
I mean, do you guys see them doing heists further down the line?
It
seems like such a waste that they weren't.
There are too many banks and too many animations that they built for the two times you do it in the story to not do more of it.
That just reminds me. I wanted to quickly speak about design, because it's like talking about the
banks. We must wrap this very soon, but carry on.
Yeah, it was just because of the fact that I was really impressed, again, going back to talking about the deathmatch modes and the online sort of things that were more sort of like centric around specific areas or levels. I was actually really impressed with how those levels were designed, because they haven't actually moved or changed very much about them at all. But they work really well. Like Saint Denis, when I was told that was going to be a deathmatch
by the train
area,
tracks,
I was a bit like, I'm not sure how I feel about this, because it is very built up and there doesn't seem to be very many communicable ways of getting from one area to another. Played a load of rounds last night, and I was like, oh, this is really nice. Then went back into the single player, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna vape from before. I'll use the same pattern as I did before.
This is the one with the miniguns on either end, because I did that one, and I remember we got overran, and it was really interesting to me the way the map, the momentum of the map carried. So like, I ended up switching spawns and like taking place in this little kind of alcove by the train platform, and just these people were just running in near the fountain and trying to take cover. So I had my friends like all there shooting at them, and I was just like kind of stealthily doing the scrubby little headshot, and then like that was really fun, because when they found me out, I was there like trying to scramble to switch to my shotgun. It's like lasso, knife, shotgun. Oh, I'm dead.
I had a great time in the tall trees map when I was playing. What's the one where Most Wanted, where you gain more points the more people you kill, and then you're worth more, and then you actually appear on the map as a bigger circle. Yeah. So people
then people get more points if they take you out.
Yeah. I managed to find the semi-auto shotgun, and I'd gone on a stabbing spree, which is the best way to win that game. You literally just hide behind trees, you sneak up behind people, and you mash circle. You'll get like 7 points per kill, so it's just worth attempting even for the lulls. And what I did was I got myself about maybe 40, 45 points worth of, if you killed me, sat in the tent with a shotgun. I just aimed at the front door. And these people were like running in, like, and you just see their faces, like they draw the, oh no. Bang, 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 bang.
The nearest that I had in terms of like, yeah, like that, what you're saying about the map stuff, like I did the 32 player deathmatch in Saint Denis, which was just a chunk of Saint Denis. But you do realize that there are like all sorts of weird little alcoves and pathways and alleyways that connect everything else together that you don't even really think of because you're not thinking of it in a multiplayer context when you're in the single player. But that stuff really works. Like
the only other thing I've got to say is I think that maybe, and I might be wrong, does it feel like to you guys that they potentially tweak the aiming a little
bit
online?
It's way faster.
When you're running, you almost like you're strafing almost.
You start from nothing
like,
to a sprint way
the,
faster.
The sprint is definitely speedier. Movement is quicker.
Although in the patch notes for the single player, they have sped that up too.
Okay, fair enough.
But not as much.
Because I was about to say, like, it's little things like that which shows that they've thought about how to get the people really invested
quickly. This is another thing as well, because in GTA Online, there was if you toggled your settings to be free aim so that there was no auto-aim whatsoever, it would segregate the servers based on that. So if you wanted more of a challenge with the shooting and you didn't want to get locked onto the head instantly, you could do that. So I'm tempted to give that a go if they introduce that feature, because it's a great way of doing the open world stuff but with a far lower player lobby count. And it makes the gunfights a lot more compelling with other players as well, because instead of locking up, they generally have to have a little bit of skill to do it. And like, you're going to have a lot of skill to take down this gunslinger.
Take down this rootin' tootin' boy.
Yeah.
So, before you wrap up, what's the name of your characters online? Just so that
my dude is called Waits because I'm in a Tom Waits mood thanks to Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Oh, yeah. Yes. What's your horse called?
Tango.
Nice. And yours?
I called my guy Jonah Hex because I'm making him like Jonah Hex.
Nice.
I tried naming him after one of the creators of the character, but it said it was profane. So
what?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why. Apparently it was profane. Like, so I called him Spook instead.
That's cool.
Gilly, have you named your character after yourself?
So it's Gilly the Kid is the online guy, and his horse is called Thaddeus, a.k.a. Big Bad Thad.
Of course. Of course he is, because why not? Yeah. So, okay, you guys can all let us know what you think down in the comments or find us on social media as to how you're getting on with Red Dead Online. This has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ewan.
Hello.
And joined by Gilly the Kid.
Hey.
And we'll catch you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.